British writer Nigella Lawson has become a food celebrity by insisting that she is not a professional. She's a home cook with a busy life and a family to feed. Now, normally this would be a tad too coy, except no one quite combines Nigella's smarts, her practicality, the way she looks, and her frankly lusty appetite. Nigella, welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
Nigella, I want to talk summer fruits. What are you reveling in right now?
Well, this is a terribly English thing to say, but you wouldn't expect any less. But for us, summer fruits means summer pudding. And I don't know if you have summer pudding in the States, but what this is a mixture of any fruits that you can get and maybe past their best, which is useful for right now. They've had the sun on them maybe a little bit too long. Red currants, black currants, raspberries, strawberries, maybe blackberries. We don't normally use those an awful lot. And we line a pudding basin shape with, I'm afraid to say, generally pretty awful plastic bread.
Right.
It's white bread. And you line a pudding basin, you wodge the bread against it, you fill it with this mixture of perhaps bruised red fruits with a little sugar, maybe a teeny bit of lemon. You put a lid on again with some bread, and then you put many weights, you know, can of beans, it doesn't matter what, and you leave it for 3 days. And all the juices soak through the bread, making them scarlet. It's like a scarlet sponge. And then you slice it. It slices messily but deliciously, and you have it with cream. And summer pudding has been going since the Victorian times, and that's certainly my childhood and now my adulthood, because it'd be inconceivable to watch the late summer fruits go by without it.
I'm listing in my mind now, where can I find those berries? And I think I saw the...
But also jam. I think it's very old-fashioned to make jam. And I make a jam with a fantastically old-fashioned name, which is Jumbleberry Jam.
Jumbleberry. What a great
Jumbleberry. Because what it means is any berries you get, you don't need to weigh them, you don't need to think about them that much. Jumbleberry. It's all jumbled up. And I make a jam just by boiling it up for, you know, far too long with a bit of sugar. But for those who don't like to do anything as frightening as waiting for a jam to set, I think there's still time to make fresh raspberry jam, so simple and so beautiful, which is simply that you get equal amounts, just maybe a couple of cups each, of raspberries and sugar, put them into two separate bowls, put these heat-proof bowls in a 400-degree oven for 20 minutes, and then you pour the sugar and raspberries together into a jug, and the heat of the sugar on the raspberries turns it into a red molten river, and it's jam that tastes so fresh. I mean, it doesn't last like proper jam, but believe me, that's never going to be a problem.
You would put it in the refrigerator then, I would gather, and
I would.
Just
it does heat it very, very fast. I mean, when sugar and raspberries come together, turns it into this thick ruby gravy, if you think, and then you just pot it, and it's also... It's very runny. It doesn't set like jam, but it's fantastic on shortcakes or really just stirred into a little lightly whipped unsugared cream. There's something about it that is just delicious. But really, if you have some very good white bread and some good unsalted butter and then a few teaspoons dribbled on top of that, to me, that would be a very heavenly alfresco breakfast.
I think life would be very, very good.
It would be.
Now, when I think of England, I think of things like damsons. What is a damson plum?
A damson is it's a hard work plum. It's a sourish plum with a stone large out of all proportion to the flesh. So it's not entirely easy to use, but the taste is magnificent. I think the fruit that is more sour, has that edge, has better taste. So, for example, for a damson, once you've almost, you know, left yourself bleeding thumbs trying to get rid of the stones, you've got an intense acid flour, slightly rough textured puree, because that will happen as you cook them very, very simply. And that we would make a damson fool, which comes from the French foulée, to whip, which is just the sour fruit streaked through some softly whipped cream and eaten out of a small wine glass, which is really delicious. But and gin, you know, you can, if you want to cut to the chase, just get a knitting needle or some such and prick some of these plums all over and then let them sit for a month or so in some gin. I mean, I'd rather eat than drink, but that's not everyone.
I think that sounds like an utterly brilliant idea, and I can think of the jar I have at home that it's going to go into this afternoon. You brought up an interesting point, though, about acidity in fruit giving you perhaps a fuller, more complex flavor.
Much more. And of course, for cooking, of course, as we know, it helps the set. I think one of the exciting things about the berries that are almost tapering off now is that some of them, even when ripe, have that edge of sourness. And that's what gives complexity.
What about the stone fruits, peaches, nectarines?
I think it's sad to cook a perfect peach or a perfect nectarine. However, too many fruits are not perfect. So I think I'd have a couple of choices. I do what the Italians do, you don't need me to tell you, which is to slice up a peach and let it stand in a glass of red wine, which is delicious. I happen to love it in Muscat too, but I love the way Italians do that. And I suppose it's not so far from the notion that the Spanish have with all those great jugs of their fruited red wine in summer.
Same idea.
But I think there are certain pairings which inexplicably go well. For example, if I have a nectarine that is a bit unyielding and it needs to be cooked before it has proper flavour, for some reason, a nectarine always goes well with blueberries. So I'm quite happy to make a nectarine and blueberry cobbler. Blueberries by themselves are not interesting enough. They need another fruit. They need a sourness. And if a nectarine is too sour to eat, uncooked, that makes good use of it. Or a crisp. You know, I'm perfectly happy to get a few oats and a bit of ground almonds and maybe some sliced almonds, stir in a bit of brown sugar and melted butter and pour that over some sliced nectarines and a tumble of blueberries and bake that. That's a rather fantastic late summer pudding, if you like, something that could be eaten outside with maybe some good vanilla ice cream.
Sounds so good.
Food always does. That's the great thing.
Nigella, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn.
Nigella Lawson is author of Nigella Express. Now, you can find her recipe for that oven jam, hands-free raspberry jam, on the website, splendidtable.org.